10 Democratic candidates for president took part in a series of town hall forums on CNN last night, taking questions on their plans to tackle the climate crisis. All of the candidates agreed that climate change is an issue that has to be dealt with, and all want the U.S. to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement that President Trump backed the U.S. out of. Climate change is one issue that is top of mind for Democratic voters, but another appears to be electability. Which candidate is the most electable? Former Vice President Joe Biden has pitched himself as the best to beat the president. Here he is in Iowa in August.
The person viewed as who is best capable of defeating this president rises above the test of I have to agree with the person 100%.
Biden's opponents have pushed back against the idea that voters should focus so much attention on electability.
There has been a lot of conversation by pundits about the electability and who can speak to the Midwest.
The next leader of our party can't be someone that is a safe bet. Oh, let's just find the person that can triangulate and get this done so we can beat Donald Trump.
And so the riskiest thing we could do is try too hard to play it safe.
Are we going to show up for people that we didn't actually believe in, but because we were too afraid to do anything else? That's not who we are.
So what makes someone electable? And is it even possible to tell? Kyle Condick is a political analyst with the website Sabato's Crystal Ball out of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
So you write that assessing electability is like nailing Jell-O to a wall. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think particularly for voters, when they're considering electability, it's not just them trying to determine who they like, but also who their friends and neighbors might like. And in a large field of Democratic candidates as we have now, I think it's hard enough for individual voters to figure out who they like, let alone trying to figure out who their friends and neighbors might like. And also, from the broad scope of electoral history, you could find lots of examples of candidates who were kind of pilloried as being, quote, unelectable, who ended up becoming president. Obviously, Donald Trump is a great example of that. But you could also look at a Republican like Ronald Reagan or a Democrat like Bill Clinton. And there were lots of questions about whether they actually, quote, could win or not, and they got nominated and won anyway.
Well, and actually, to your point, let's listen here. This is Steve Hayes of the Weekly Standard speaking in January 2016 on Fox News about President Trump.
Well, I think Trump is the least electable, but I'm willing to be. Look, I didn't think Donald Trump was going to be a competitor for the Republican nomination. He's clearly a competitor for the Republican nomination. So maybe what I thought I understood before, I'm not understanding. Maybe he would be more electable than I would think.
He was. And then the next person I want to hear about, this is Bill Clinton. You mentioned Bill Clinton. There were questions about his electability. And at a debate in March of 1992, Bill Bonds, an anchor at a TV station in Detroit, had this question for California Governor Jerry Brown, who was running as well.
Does the question, Governor Brown, of Mr. Clinton's recent problems lead you to believe that he has an electability problem?
Yeah, I think he's got a big electability problem.
Well, what do you think it is?
I want to tell you what it is.
Okay, so obviously both of those people, Trump and Clinton, ended up being very electable and becoming president. You also think of Barack Obama, an African-American. A lot of people thought that's not going to be possible, and then he won in a landslide.
Yeah, that's right. And again, I also go back to Reagan in that there were a lot of people, including Gerald Ford, at that time, the most recent Republican president, who basically argued that Reagan was too conservative to get elected, that he was, the next version of Barry Goldwater, the Republican who lost in a landslide to Lyndon Johnson in 1964. And Reagan ended up winning pretty comfortably in 1980 and arguably resetting the course of American politics and putting it in a more conservative direction.
Do you think, though, that President Trump's election changed it completely and made it so that really you could say that anyone is electable because he hadn't even held any office before becoming president?
Yeah, I think that Trump's election sort of expanded the bounds of what analysts should consider in terms of who's electable and who is not. And also, I think that American politics has changed to the point where more people maybe are electable than one might have thought before. You know, the classic examples of, quote, unelectable candidates were Barry Goldwater in 1964, lost in a landslide to Lyndon Johnson. And then 8 years later, George McGovern lost in a landslide to Richard Nixon. But keep in mind that election structure was different back then in that voters were much likelier to be able to split their tickets. Voters migrated between the parties much more back then than they do now. And so I think that any nominee of either major party in an era where we have very closely divided elections is inherently electable because fundamentally, I think the Republican or Democratic nominee starts with something of a high floor. And with someone like Donald Trump, who ended up winning the election without winning the popular vote, you know, 46% of the vote was enough for him to win that election when Mitt Romney and John McCain got fairly similar shares of the vote and ended up losing it to Barack Obama. So again, because the country is so polarized, because voters are so unwilling to vote for the other party, I think that sort of makes the nominee of either party inherently more electable than maybe they were 30, 40 years ago when the electorate was more flexible and we had more blowout elections.
So I think back to 2004 and Howard Dean and that scream moment when a lot of people who maybe had questions about his electability to begin with, after that they said, well, he's now definitely not electable because of the way that he reacted to the loss in one of the primaries.
Yeah, and you know, I just think back to all of the quote gaffes that become a part of the lore of these presidential elections, and you know, Trump I think breaks the mold there too in that he has said and done so many outrageous things, and yet in some ways he hasn't paid a price for them. Although I would argue that if he were a more conventional president, I think his popularity would be a little bit better, and he would be I think in better position to win re-election in 2020. But also, I think that in some ways Trump sort of changed the definition, I think, of what a presidential candidate was. And I think some people like that, particularly in the Republican Party.
Do you think that electability this time around is a higher priority for voters than it typically is?
I think for Democratic primary voters, I think it certainly is. You see this in opinion polls. People seem to, and also sort of anecdotally asking people what they value in a candidate. I think electability rates up there. And you've heard countless examples of voters saying that, oh, well, maybe they like Elizabeth Warren, but they're worried that as to whether she can win or not. A lot of people see Joe Biden as being the, quote, most electable candidate, but ultimately don't really know. I mean, we're basing a lot of this off of hypothetical horse race election polls that match Biden against Trump and then Warren against Trump. And usually Biden does better than the other Democratic candidates. But there have been some recent surveys that have shown all the candidates doing pretty well against Trump. And Biden may just be doing better because he has better name identification or he's more of a proven commodity. But also these polls aren't really predictive so far out in advance. Certainly there were a lot of polls suggesting that Donald Trump was the weakest candidate against Hillary Clinton at this time in the 2016 cycle. And while it may be that any Republican would have won the presidency against Clinton in 2016, we don't know that. And Donald Trump had unique appeal in certain electorally important places, particularly in the Midwest, that maybe some of these other Republicans couldn't have matched. And so maybe it is that Biden is the most electable candidate, but it could also be that if the Democrats rolled the dice and nominated Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, maybe they would bring something special to the table that Biden didn't have.
Okay. Now, the other thing about Joe Biden is, of course, he is a straight white man. When people say that they're looking for somebody who's electable, how much are they just talking about that? They're saying, I don't want a woman. I don't want a minority. I don't want a gay man.
I think there is some of that. And again, this is something that you hear anecdotally from voters that because Clinton didn't beat Trump in 2016, there is this assumption that the Democrats need to nominate a straight white male to be the presidential nominee. And I guess I personally don't really see that. I mean, Clinton did win the popular vote despite, you know, again, being kind of a flawed candidate running in kind of a challenging electoral environment in that she was effectively running for Barack Obama's third term. Obama's approval was okay. The economy was okay, but it wasn't necessarily a situation where you wanted to be kind of the incumbent party presidential candidate as opposed to the challenger. I think Trump did benefit from just being the sort of the change agent. So to your point, I think some of this is that the Democratic electorate just wants to be kind of small C conservative in who they choose. But maybe that's really not the right approach. I mean, say what you want about Trump, but it may have been that Trump was the right person to win. Obviously, he did. And maybe he was the only one who could have won.
Do you think voters are missing out on more substantive conversations about issues when they focus so much on electability?
Well, I do think there's some truth to that, although I think also just, you know, voters care about the horse race too, and they're interested in the horse race. And even though I kind of wish that specific policies were kind of more of the discussion, I think voters also inherently care about who's up and who's down and ultimately who can win. They may not necessarily make the right judgments about that. And certainly I don't think that the analysts always make the right judgments about who is electable and who is not. But the mere practice of trying to figure out who can win an election and who can't has to be as old as democracy itself.
That's Kyle Kondek, who's a political analyst with the website Sabato's Crystal Ball out of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And do you take electability into account when voting in a primary? And if so, who do you think is the most electable of the Democrats running against President Trump? Let us know at hereandnow.org.